You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards it's a goal! Oh, it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jake Cottrell with a screamer!
I don't believe it!
An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's weekend league match with Blackley Town.
Hello, I'm Will McGuinness. And welcome to everybody, and all the best to FC United, radio especially.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly, we'll be hearing how FC United fared in their crucial league match with Brackley Town from Saturday afternoon. But before kick-off, it was announced that on-loan midfielder George Thompson had made the move from Chester more permanent. Here's the FC Live team with their thoughts pre-match.
So welcome everyone to St James's Park here in Northamptonshire.
In Newcastle.
And in Exeter.
In Exeter as well.
Yeah, they've got one too, haven't they?
But is it St James or St James Park?
It's St James Park.
Yeah, there's a difference,
I should
say.
So we're joined by Stephen Wood now, and we've got you on for this little pre-match chat here, just to discuss the new signings. One's a re-sign.
I was going to say, you keep saying signings.
Yeah, one's a re-signing, and one's definitely a new signing.
What?
Put your headset on if you're going to bloody heckle me from the sidelines.
You can't do anything on your own with Swampy about, can you?
So,
it wouldn't be complete without you being having an argument and then agreeing about everything.
Exactly.
The first thing to say Lewis Lacer, and it's not really breaking news, this, because we covered it on the podcast 2 weeks ago.
He wasn't warming up. He was with the players, weren't he, on the pitch couple weeks ago.
But to the dear old listener at home, this is new news. So, Lewis Lacer coming back.
I think it shows how many people listen to this podcast.
I know. Lewis Lacer coming back, that's a big deal.
It will be after last Saturday's shenanigans. We'll have at least one and possibly three. I don't know if he's done a violent conduct charge on Smythe or...
Sure, it's a football incident, isn't it?
I don't know, I'm just saying, if it's a normal red card, it's one game. If it's violent conduct, he'll get three, so I don't know.
Well, I think it'd probably be three, unfortunately, because the referee saw it as a high boot going into the face, so therefore you can class it as dangerous,
I agree with that.
Violent conduct.
Yeah.
It's good that he's back now.
I mean, Lewis Lacer, all the way through his tenure at the club the first time round, or the second time round, was... very good at centre-half. And it felt like the start of this season we were kind of trying to fill that a bit. And
yeah, possibly. I mean, the Lewis Lacy of four games out of five is good. The fifth game, like, for example, Witten away last year when everything sliced into touch and everything went to pot a little bit. But that's the young lad in him.
Well, that's a confidence thing.
It's a confidence thing, and he does seem to lose a bit of concentration. But the fact that he had so many clubs watching him two, three seasons ago... Shows his talent.
Yeah, I mean, he's had that pretty much since he left Man City. He was in their development squad, and we got him from Austin Juniors, and he was a centre forward when he joined us.
Bolton had their eye on him as well, didn't they?
We played Bolton with the under-18s, we went to their place and we played, and Sammy Lee was the manager of their development squad, and we absolutely battered the FC United under-18s at the time, and they looked at him, thought he was wonderful, but again, you see. It's down, a player is great on the football pitch. It depends what kind of mentality he has off the pitch in regards to wanting to do things. Now, he's been to the US of A and he's come back, and that'll give him... That's something that we should think in terms of that will grow the person, because he's gone out there by himself, and to do that at such a young age is a really good thing. It'll be a good development for him. He's now come back and he's probably matured a little bit more, and... He's also probably picked up a bit of a twang knowing him. He's probably but you're talking about Lewis Lacy, but let's not forget, with this current situation, as Steve alludes to, it could be a three-match ban for Smythe.
I was going to mention how good Smythe's been.
Well, no, it wasn't that I was not talking about. He has been excellent. But there's another player that's out on loan at this moment in time, in Chris Lynch.
Mm.
You know, so there's no reason why Carl, if he's been playing well, because he's been up at...
he was at Clitheroe again. Clitheroe,
wasn't he?
Clitheroe,
so
yeah.
He's been doing Clitheroe, well at
Clitheroe doing well this season.
Well, yes.
They got battered about six the other week. I don't know if he played or not.
They're doing all right.
All right, all right. But
the point I'm making there is that if he's doing well, there's no reason why Carl shouldn't first and foremost bring him back into the squad and then allow Lewis not to have to come in. Because you don't want to bring a player... I mean, we're doing all right at the moment. It would have been, let's say, a month and a half ago, that would have been a very difficult situation for Lewis to come back into. Yeah. You're now more settled with the signing. Again, we're going to talk about George Thompson. But I think the likes of Chris Lynch, who's been very, very patient. When he got to play, he did very well for us. Then he had a bit of a blip, and then he couldn't really get himself back into the team after the injury. But he's out getting himself fit, proving that he still wants to play for this football club. So I'm sure Carl will have him in his mind as well as
absolutely,
the likes of Lewis Lacy.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
So Lewis Lacy's back at the club. Also, we should say, George Thompson, as has been alluded to, is here now permanently. A new sign-in, undisclosed fee.
Was there a fee?
It says undisclosed fee on the website. So
honestly, I didn't read that bit. Okay.
Obviously, it was a bit of a complicated signing because there's Chester, obviously, but there's also Kings Lynn Town involved in the signing as well. But we've got it done. And it's excellent news, isn't it? Because he's been really, really, really good since he's joined.
It is excellent news, and hopefully by the end of the season we can sell him for £500,000 and then finish the grant. No, I'm joking.
I'm fine with
that. That's a good idea.
Never get used to players. That's what they used to
absolutely
say, didn't they?
No, you're absolutely right, Ben. This is a good signing. I mean, you can see, you've almost got FC. BT and FC something else, because obviously before Thompson and after Thompson, AT doesn't quite work, does it? But before Thompson, we were struggling, let's be honest. He's coming to this.
You're struggling to get that out as well, weren't you? Let's be honest.
I've got my noise radio for a bit. You can tell, can't you? Rusty.
I mean, we've had Smythe in and we've had Winter in as well.
They've all made a contribution, they've all made a difference. But you can see that Mr. Thompson is that step above.
He's got a bit of class about him.
Yeah.
And there's no. It's no surprise that we've kicked on a little bit since he's come into the team. He's played in a number of positions. I think we've taught that I like to see him a bit further up the pitch.
I agree.
Dictating from there rather than in that withdrawn role. But no, he wanted to join, and it's testament to him because you know he's stepped down a division. Chester, you know, are a big football club, and his mind may have been made up. They've just signed a guy, I think, from Gillingham or Rotherham over the last couple of days.
They brought him from Burnley as well.
I know it was touch and go whether they were going to let him go. I think they now believe they've probably got a good enough squad without him, which can only benefit FC United and Manchester. He's a very talented footballer. He's very exciting to watch. And let's not forget last season when we were watching him at Kings Lynn. And he was dictating the play for Kings Lynn against us the other season. But no, he brings a bit of calm and a bit of quality. We saw that with a goal last week against Tamworth. I mean, I've watched that back on TV on two or three occasions. And the first touch is superb. The second touch is even better. And the third is when the goalkeeper's gone down, he's then slotted it in. And that is what you want in a team that hasn't scored a huge amount of goals. But when you get the chance, he always looks like
correct
scoring.
Well, we said on the way home that in the car that probably the majority of our players in that goal last week would have snatched at the chance. He tried to hit it first time.
Ironically, the only player
hit the keeper, put it wide, whatever.
Ironically, the only player who wouldn't have done that was the guy who made the initial pass.
Potentially, Linfield. Potentially, yeah. I mean, yeah. I was sat in the stand last week going, what a goal. It was just that moment. And then obviously he hit the post right on half time with a great shot. I think we spoke half time. He placed it absolutely brilliantly.
So the last time we had you on
apart from hitting the post, yes.
The last time we had you on to discuss signings, I can't remember who we signed at the time, might have been Sheridan. I asked you the question, is that it now? And you said, no, I think there might be a couple more coming. And now I'm going to ask you the same question. Is that it now, Stephen?
I don't know. I mean, Carl always says, don't I mean, obviously I don't do the interviews anymore, so I don't get a chance to ask any questions.
Or see car tricks, of course.
I never really did the interview time, to be honest with you. It was very limited in the dugout area or wherever we were. I would assume, what point I was trying to say, I would assume he's always on the lookout for players. He's here to the ground about, cause, I mean, let's be honest, you know, George Thompson not playing at Chester, that came from nowhere. It didn't come through anything that, you know, he appeared from.
Yeah.
So somebody's obviously got, you know, he's got a lot of contacts, Carl. I mean, people say what you like about Carl. We know he's got a lot of contacts in football, in professional game, and at this level. and people will say to him, you know, I've got a lad here, or I know of a lad who's looking for something.
Well, not only have you got that, Steve, you've also got your best scouts, ordinary, your players. And your players will know other players that maybe, you know, want to come and join you. Unfortunately, at this level of football, and it includes FC United and Manchester, some players are still very, very greedy and expecting, you know, a decent payday, even though they're semi-professional footballers. Can you blame them? Well, you can't blame them as an individual, but when you're on your own football club, you've got to make sure that the budget is set in the right way.
Yeah.
We know Carl's been given an extension in budget this season for part of next season's already. However, what you'd expect is Carl to be always on the lookout. I mean, for me, I'd be looking at two or three players additionally to for the running. I think a goalkeeper, I know we have one out on that's playing week in, week out. But I like to have a goalkeeper there just to keep Carney on his toes a little bit. And it's hard to do so with a goalkeeper because they want to be playing and to
King,
get a good
King
quality
a good
one.
Goalie, though.
Oh, sorry?
That King at Matlock was a good
King
goalie.
Is a good goalkeeper, but he's only ever going to play if Carney's injured.
Yeah.
So at this moment in time, Carney's not doesn't have to look over his shoulder. I'm not saying that he's playing inconsistently or poorly because he's not. However, what I'm saying is a player always likes a little bit of competition because you can become complacent. You know, and we've done it on the radio. You know, it's just you and me that do the radio, Ben.
Yeah, we get lazy.
We get lazy, get complacent, and therefore we need someone to give us a kick up the backside on occasions. But also, I'd like maybe two or three more players coming in over the next couple of months.
The problem with that is, of course, we've still got quite a large squad, and, you know, there's plenty of lads who aren't getting on the bench or aren't getting minutes. I mean, up until a couple of weeks ago, you know, Linfield was being named every week and not getting on, and I noticed the other week, excuse me, understandably. Subs got called back, and he came back to the dugout and was a bit angry.
I remember the game.
I don't overly mind seeing that, absolutely. If it's channeling the right way, I don't mind seeing that.
Especially as the commentators are looking at the same pitch and going, why ain't he coming? But anyway.
you know, so I mean, whether or not we bring more in by letting one or two go, I don't know, because, you know, it's like you said about the goalkeepers wanting to be, you know, it's hard for them to play if they're not in the team every week. We've got lads in our squad who are probably good enough to be playing every week at other clubs and probably should be kicking the ball. Now, you know, there's an obvious one, which I'm going to, before we wrap it up, in Matt Walwin. You know, the guy's been injured for a long time. His last two games were international matches. We're not talking England and... He's not kicked a ball. In fact, I think he's played in the Manchester Cup game. He's played one game. Now, I'm stuck with it with him, whether he's showing good loyalty to us to stay and fight for his place. But you think to yourself, if that was me, I'd want to be somewhere else because he's good enough.
I think what we've seen, Steve, is that there have been a number of players at the club that love the club that much that they get wrapped up in it as a supporter.
Absolutely.
Opposed to just
and,
a
they,
player.
And they kind of sacrifice their career for that.
They are, yeah, and I'd like to see them go out. And also the one thing you have to bear in mind is are you out of sight, out of mind? Well, no, you're not at this football club because you'll always be welcome back if you're playing well. Like we know Scott Cheatham's out at Mosley at the moment. Now, if he's doing well and playing well, there's no reason why he won't come back. If he's not, then it would be time for someone like Scott Cheatham to move on. Someone like Matty Warwin to move on. It would be someone like Tom Brown to move on if they're not cutting the mustard.
If Scott Cheatham is playing well, and we're not interested, at least then he's at a very decent,
correct. He's decent
semi-professional
level.
And he can either stay with Mosley or he can maybe move on elsewhere. But you've got to be playing at the age that they're at and at the level they're at. They have to be playing football and they have to be playing competitive football. There's no point in playing for your reserves. You've got to be playing competitive football week in, week out, on grass pitches, because the vast majority of games, reserve-wise, are on plastic. And they don't do themselves a great service.
Well, I was going to jokingly say I feel slightly responsible for Matt Walwin because I bumped into him in Spanish one dinner time just after I'd already got a hamstring injury because of his bad back, and I slapped on the back and went, enjoy yourself. I'm probably putting him out for another couple of weeks. But you're right about talking on the plastic, that because if he's got hamstring and back injuries, playing on plastic's not going to do him any good.
Not at all, no.
The other thing to bear
in mind, Ben, is that if we get to a stage of the season, because we know we're not playing for anything this season, we're not in a situation where hopefully we have to be playing for survival. You know, the next three or four games will probably determine that for us.
This is one of them.
Yeah. If we get to that stage, then there is an opportunity that Carl, we talked about maybe bringing other players in. Well, perhaps he might not have to do that. He might look to some of the players that have been in the reserves or even the youth team and give them an opportunity because the season's safe. There's no cup competition to play for, but giving them a little bit of a blood in first team football in front of a big crowd, because that can only benefit them as well.
I mean, after the FA Trophy exit and Manchester Premier Cup in the same week, wasn't it? It was basically clear that you couldn't have a squad the size we had it. So my question is, if the gap between the relegation zone and where we are is 4 points currently, and it could be.
But we're also only 5 points off 10th.
Exactly, it's ridiculous.
Exactly. If there's a decent string of results and we get to that mid-table Narnia place that we all like to get to this season, we could do that, couldn't we?
We could do, yeah. I mean,
because they're only Saturday games. There's hardly any midweeks.
That's all we've got, two midweeks at the minute, isn't there? Yeah. There's only Telford and Bradford now. Yeah, weather permitting, of course.
Yeah. So really, it's just a case of seeing it out with what we've got, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you are probably right. You know, saying that, you know, maybe two or three players in. That's at this stage of the season. If results go against us in the next two or three games and we're down there, I think Carl will probably look to do so.
Yeah.
If not, and we are safe, then yes, it's probably realistic to suggest
play with what we've got.
Play with what you've got, and also maybe give a couple of opportunities. People like Frank Van Gils, who's not figured really since last season, and when he did figure, he was entertaining. He was good to watch.
Yeah. And also don't forget to factor in how many players will want to leave with a possible trip to America on the horizon as well.
That was another thought, wasn't it? Yeah, there'll be a lot of those coming and going. What, I'll sign for FC? Yes, I'll sign for FC. I don't want payment.
I'm not playing this for the rest of the season as long as I can get 5 minutes in Detroit. But yeah, you know, you're right. I think the next few matches will determine. We, you know, this is the game where traditionally this season we've struggled in.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and
on that note, we should probably leave it there, I think. Thank you, Woodzo.
No problem, Benzo, or whatever you call these days.
Thank you.
Hugo.
Benzo.
Swampy, Woodzo and Ben there before Saturday's match with Brackley Town. And it's to that match that we turn to now as FC United travel to Northamptonshire for this crucial match in the relegation picture. So could FC take all 3 points and move themselves away from the relegation zone? It's over to Marv Willis now with a match report. Marv.
3 points, Cockers? Sure. No problem. Move away from the relegation zone? Why not? Oh. Or maybe not. FC United slumped to a 4-0 defeat away to fellow strugglers Brackley Town on Saturday afternoon. Sloppy defending saw two goals in each half, whilst Carl Marginson's side failed to ever really threaten getting on the score sheet. The result leaves the Reds in 17th place and just 1 point above the relegation zone. Here's the goals.
Given a free kick in a dangerous position. It looks like, for me, that Tom Winters with his left foot is going to take all these important balls. And this is about 15 yards outside the penalty area. We whip towards the back post. And there's quite a number of big players gone in there. They've only left the left three, back three on two. And the ball gets whipped into the back post. It's a decent ball. Who's going to get on the end of it? Well, FC United. First half shot comes in again, though. It's in the back of the net. And it's the number eight. Well, we just saw a few moments ago. He was given space. He turned and shot. And he should have scored. But the flag went up this time. It came out to him for a good defensive header. And then it was Glenn Walker. And he's got his body over the ball and volleyed it into the bottom corner. Nothing he could do. But I've got to say, for me,
non-existent challenge.
There's non-existent, but there should never have been a free kick in the first place. Yeah. I thought the referee or the assistant got it completely wrong. However, you play to the whistle, it's been given. It's 1-0.
They've been threatening that, though, haven't they, the last 5 minutes or so?
Well, not been threatening.
They've been putting balls in that we've not really been 100% confident about.
Well, FC United on 12 minutes go a goal down here. And Glenn Walker, the man, left-hand side, riser challenge there. And just left his leg in there, Brownhill. He's realised that Walker was getting away from him. And FC United will have to set themselves. Free kick. It's a good 35 yards from the penalty area, but it's on this right-hand side. It'll be whipped in once more again by Tom Winters.
The gloved Winters.
It's roughly where it was for the goal, isn't it? Roughly.
Well, not too dissimilar. FC United will have to defend this ball a lot better than they did for the opening goal. There's a stanchion in front of me, so I'm looking at either left and right hand side of it. And what can Tom Winters do? He whips the ball, it's a decent ball towards the back post. It's headed, well, it's missed.
Oh my goodness.
And it's in. Well, there you go. 2-0. And I could commentate on that, unfortunately, because A, there was a stanchion in the way. The ball was whipped in, completely missed by Ashworth, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It bounced behind him, there was no one there. The player.
So from a red shirt.
Looped a ball over, and the man on this near touch line just tapped it in for about half a yard.
Mile, yeah.
And it was David Moyo there. Well, we'll get an easier goal than that, you can definitely say. Yeah. But again, FC United have been undone by two absolutely atrocious bits of defending.
Staggering defending, that's why there's silence during the commentary, because you're like that going, really? Really?
That was like the whole back row went to sleep. It wasn't one person switching off, was it? They all did.
Well, the one thing you'll be looking for now, you see the home team already, they're dropping very, very deep, but at the same time, FC United got a couple of lines upon it. What we were saying earlier on, we were watching the Nottingham Forest thing, weren't we? We were listening to the Tulsi Tulsi. Here's another opportunity. Here's an opportunity to make it 3-0. He should be digging on the ball. Can he shoot? Can he score? Yes, he can. Woeful defending again. You don't even get a chance to even commentate and tell you things that have happened outside of the game because the ball was launched over the top. Defensive mix-up again. Trying to be headed back to the goalkeeper, not going to get it. Comes across, digging there, 10 yards out, just leathers in, 3-0 to the visitors. And, well, it's not a story, in fairness, of the quality of the home team. It's a story of the ineptitude and the absolute sheer disastrous defending from FC United and Manchester. And for me, I see those three police officers, I'd get them in the defence, because no one will go past the copper, will they?
Well.
And I was going back to say,
I think some of the defending's been criminal.
See, I'll set them up, you nod them in. And FC United have to defend again. They do so. The wall on that, just outside the halfway line with Winter. He loses out once more to Batchelor. There's more desire in this team. They want it more as down the right-hand side they go. Bit of pace there from Walker. Get the ball to the penalty. Towards the back post. The ball goes as a free header there. Comes in to make it 4. And exactly what they're going to do. More pace, more desire, more quality. And Tom Winters, well, you heard just see him waiting for that. And he just volleyed it. Into the back of the net.
All the time in the world.
And that is good night.
It wasn't even a good cross. How high was it? You said earlier, if we get one back, you never know. They're not third bottom for a reason. Well, we're seventh bottom for a reason, it would appear.
Well, they won't be third bottom after this.
No, they're fourth bottom.
Here are the FC Live team concluding their coverage of Saturday's game.
That is indeed the final whistle. And FC United have been put to the sword here at St James's Park. And, an abject performance for the boys in white and blue this afternoon. A team really on the back of a good positive performance from last week with a 1-1 draw and could have been 3 points only for a 92nd minute equaliser. Well, That display last week and that team last week, well, they arrived here en masse this afternoon, but I think most of them stayed on the bus because that was not the same performance, wasn't the same team. It's Everton 3, Chelsea 2 in the 90th minute. Don't know why I'm cheering that like I'm an Everton fan. But really, FC United have not done themselves any justice, you know. The travelling army of FC fans have come here this afternoon and enjoyed the travel down here, a new ground, new friends, new visitors, but unfortunately they haven't given a performance that Carl will feel it would satisfy him in any way, shape or form. The fans will be despondent, you'd expect. I'm saying that, despondent, are we? Not really. The fans are behind the ground cheering, you know, because that's what we do. We cheer on every game because every game is a bonus being an FC United fan, but performances like that, well, they are lacklustre. And well, we're going to take a short break for a few minutes and then we'll be back. Ben, we're on to what time?
5.
So just have one quick break. We'll be back. FC United here at St James's Park, the home of Brackley Town. 4-0 is the result. 4-0 to Brackley. We'll see you in a few seconds.
Welcome back to FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. Just to let you know, show we know names coming up next, and then we've got a David Bowie tribute at 6:30. And don't forget, on Monday and Tuesday evening, 9 o'clock through to 11 o'clock, Gonna Raise Hell and Goth Moths and Manx are also paying tribute to David Bowie. But it's now time for our own tribute.
You know what, you're the only person that I know says David Bowie.
It's
like
Bowie.
Like it sounds, when you say it, it makes me feel like you sound saying Bowie. The way you say it for some reason,
Salford.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Under snow.
So.
And FC Gold under siege.
Welcome back here. It's finished 4-0 to Brackley Town. A good result for Brackley. And it's now time for Swampy's Thought of the Week.
Well, my Thought of the Week, ladies and gentlemen, is to ask Paul so I don't get into any further trouble because I get the blame for anything that's said.
It's now time for Stato Paul's.
If I was
going to. Wait a minute, I'm teeing you up.
He's building you up here.
It's now time for Stato Paul's Thought of the week.
Well, if I was going to choose a tribute song for today, it would be Sorrow. That's about all I can say.
I was going to play John, I'm Only Dancing.
Well, I think you're right, to be honest. I mean, you know, there's expectations really of FC United this afternoon. Coming here to St James's Park, a team third from bottom, not won in six games. FC United having a good, strong performance last week, getting a point away against a team seventh in seventh spot. And it just, even from the onset of the game, it just didn't seem to be a game where FC United had the cohesion of the quality, had, well, the plan in order to try and be able to compete against a team that have been struggling. And, you know, two goals in the first half separated the teams. And, well, it wasn't the goals that separated them, Paul. It was the way they were playing. That there was a massive difference between the two. There was a gulf in class between the two teams in the first 45.
Even the first 10 minutes before we conceded, it was looking like we were going to concede, to be honest, because we weren't defending that convincingly. And once the first goal went in, we never looked like coming back, did we, really?
Well, no, I mean, they set the stall out with, you know, 4-5-2 up front. And you've got to say they were worth the 3 points. The one thing that we'll be looking at that, though, that if they can take that game into the next game from a Brackley perspective, fantastic. But they might have thought, well, let's save a couple of goals for the next game because, you know, they've been resolute in everything they've done this afternoon. They've worked hard. They've beat FC to the ball every time. They could have, in reality, it could have been 5 or 6. There's no question about that.
That kind of performance and result puts us back in the relegation scrap.
Well, just to let you know what that relegation scrap looks like, as alluded to earlier, Bradford Park Avenue are in 15th position. They're 1 point from Corby Town in 20th position in that last relegation spot. FC United just 1 point ahead of that Corby Town there. So, and Lowestoft are the visitors to Broadhurst on Saturday, and we'll be there to bring you all the delights of that one.
And they've had a revival lately, I believe.
Yes,
they have indeed. Well, I suppose it's one of those times where it just turns around. The only thing you can really think of, the only way you can get over a game like this is walking up a mountain. And I'll be contemplating FC United tomorrow, their 4-0 defeat, whilst walking up Kinder Scout in the snow. FC United, well, they're uphill all afternoon, really, from the very onset. The teams, well, there was a gulf in class between the two teams today. And FC United, well, 4-0 is a scoreline we've not often been have to talk about, but today they were resolutely beaten by a team that wanted it more, were better in front of goal, had a great shape about them, worked hard, some great individual performance, but a team performance. Brackley were absolutely superb. FC United of Manchester, nothing really to show for it at all. They're going all the way back, 50 miles to go back. See you very soon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Till next week, FC United leave St James's Park with no points.
And just to let you know how good Swampy's been this afternoon, it finished Chelsea 3, Everton 3.
Oh!
The kiss of death.
See you later, kids.
Swampy, Ben and Stato Paul there from Saturday afternoon. After the match, Ben and Swampy caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
Well, thank you, Carl, for joining us. That's the smell of terrible coffee of Swampy, by the way, in case you're wondering. Thanks for joining us after that. Bad day at the office?
Yeah, I think that sums it up, to be fair. I think, I don't like to use a cliche like that, but myself, the staff, all the players were in probably a state of shock, really. Obviously, the scoreline and the goals that we conceded was, you know, it was like a different team had turned up to the one that's been there for the past six matches. So, but we've still got belief in the group of players that we've got, and we can move forward, you know, next week against Lowestoft.
Now, you see, I was going to conduct this interview, but he's already got his elbows in, so, yeah.
No, I was going to say, some fans will say, quite wrongly, it was complacency, perhaps, of the team lower in the division. That's not the case with this squad at the moment, is it, at all, Carl?
No, I think it was... I think it was just a case of... You know, I think it was summed up in the first half when... We've done a great move, got a ball inside. I think we got Dean Stott through just to square the ball, and he's over it. You know, it's them little margins that some of them are still learning about. They're the little margins. If he squares that across with any kind of quality, you know, we go 1-0 up and goals change games. From that, then we just seem. At the end of the day, I can talk about little instances, but there was quite a large majority of the lads today who didn't play to what they can, to what we've seen over the 6 weeks. And when that happens, you're going to lose.
I don't want to come out with cliches or anything like that, but how do you pick your players up for Lowestoft next week? Because that's suddenly turned into a very important match. That
already started that process. We already started that process in the dressing room afterwards. You know, I think we're all of the same mindset that we can use that as a positive. You know, that's taught us a lesson that if you turn up and you're not 100%, you're going to struggle. So just make sure you turn up. And, you know, it's a saying in football, it's quite true, that you can probably carry one or two players, but you can't carry seven or eight. And I think that was the case today. There was lads who performed nowhere near to what they can do. But they'll do it as a collective. There's no one's going to be singled out or anything like that. It was just as you said, and I don't like cliches, but it really was a bad day at the office. You know, the thing that not so much sticks in my throat, but and all the supporters who've travelled over like 3 hours, 4 hours, as we have done. You know, that level of commitment needs to be matched by performances that they can go home proud of. And like I say, it'd be quite easy to look at the result and get carried away by the 4-0 scoreline and then look at people's positions in the league. I think if there's one thing we've learned over the years is that when you play for FC United, there's no easy game, so it doesn't matter where that anybody is in the league, they're going to turn up and they're going to put a shift in. And that's something that we continue to strive for. The lads are going to fall below them standards at times, but that's once in, like I say, in the last six performances before this, where the standards have been of at a place where I can hand on heart, you know, stand there proud with them, and I've told them that.
The one thing as well, certainly to say, is that the players know themselves that's not a performance worthy of an FC shirt. You can hear, you know, the fact that on the team bus that they're not upbeat, they're not, you know, in any way. So that's half your battle anyway already done. They know the standards that you require. Sometimes I think, though, would it be right saying you have to give credit to the opposition, because they play some very good football today. I know we're nowhere near what we were capable of, but they play some good football and they capitalise upon mistakes that ordinarily we would like to capitalise on the same way. So in that respect, you know, we played up against a good team today.
I think I wouldn't put them up there with one of the top teams in the league, but certainly give them credit for capitalising on the mistakes. Like, the work rate was excellent. I thought they had quite a lot of knowledge and know-how, where they used it to our detriment. And
they seem to play in a way, the way when we play on, when we're on form, playing really good football, in a similar vein to FC United. Not a particularly big team, but I get the ball on the deck, they play it out wide, they get players with bodies up form, they've got good shape. And the last six games that we've shown the quality, the tenacity, and also that belief in winning, they had that today, and unfortunately we just didn't have that. But again, you know, as I say, that's why sometimes you give credit to a team. You know, we weren't on our mark by no stretch of the imagination, so you agree. But we can take it forward now, can't we, to the next game, and a big game and a great game to play.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we can get back on the bike, as you say, and it's at home to Lowestoft. They'll come with the mindset, I would imagine, that, you know, when we play them down there, we turn them over. So that'll be in their memories, and I'm sure it'll give them that extra urge to go and make sure that we don't do anything similar again.
And not new additions, but you know what I mean, in Thompson. Firstly, Thompson, that's a deal that I think most fans have been after, and congratulations on getting it done, I suppose.
Yeah, it was, you know, to George's credit, he was desperate to come, and, you know, we've been able to work something out with Chester, which is, you know, how it should work. And obviously Lewis Lacey not going back to college over in America gives us, you know, that little bit of extra security, if you like, and it's welcome, because obviously Tom Smiles will be suspended as of next week.
Well, thank you, Carl, for joining us. Nice one, mate.
FC United manager Carl Margeson there, speaking with Swampy and Ben following FC's 4-0 defeat at the hands of Brackley Town on Saturday afternoon.
So, welcome to the podcast extra section of this.
Very quiet, Ben. Took off very quick. Oh, there's a lady holding all the pies. Well, she can sausage rolls, pasties. They're all going past us, Ben.
I'll buy one. No.
Apparently not.
It's a shame. I'm starving. So welcome to the podcast extra section of This Club Is My Club this week.
This club's your club.
Yeah.
It's not my club.
What a joyous podcast extra section this is going to be. So 4-0 Swampy. We couldn't really get to we gave an attempt at trying to dissect where we were going wrong at half time. It can't all be the defence's fault.
No, you play as a unit, don't you? And let's not forget the goals came from set pieces in the first half. And in all fairness, we've got to defend it better as a team, as a unit. You know, everyone's back there. We haven't defended the ball well in any way, shape or form. Some great delivery from, for me, I'm tempted to give him man of the match, Tom Winters. I thought his delivery was superb all afternoon. His work rate was very, very good. But when the ball's in the penalty area and, you know, you've got to be first to it, and we weren't first to it, and they were. And the first goal comes from, Glenn Walker, who, again, was very impressive all afternoon. But it's defending that we've not seen for quite a few games now.
After you defending. No, you get the ball.
Well, that's what it was. It was no one was taking command. No one was actually, I'll be in charge. I'll deal with it. And that sets a very, very bad precedent at the beginning of the game.
Do you want those cups?
No, we get from the... Don't let the thing go, though.
Oh, yeah. I've
got a sneaky feeling. Oh, no, he stayed. It's a hard one, because you've seen the way the team have been performing. Good shape, working hard for each other. And putting shifts and performances in.
It was surprising today, but someone said if we were playing Solihull Moors today, we wouldn't have played like that. And I think there is an element to that, is there?
I don't think we came here today with the thoughts of look, they're the bottom three. I mean, we're just a few points above them, so it's not a question of them or us taking our foot off the gas thinking we can beat these very, very easily. Because it was a very, very close contest in the respect of the points difference between the two teams. I think we've just been beaten on the day by a better team, wanting it more, playing better football, keeping the shape, holding the ball well and scoring with their opportunities. When the opportunities came for FC United and Manchester, namely in the first half with George Thompson, good save against Sam Hornby. But apart from that, nothing really in front of goal. Again, we were talking about, Greaves. And Greaves will come in for, again, I can guarantee it, Greaves will come in for some stick.
He's up front, on his own.
But he'll come in for some stick from some of our supporters on the unofficial message board and maybe on the official message board. But he's doing doggies all through the game. He's trying to take defenders away. And, you can only do that so much. You've got to get a player like him with the quality. The ball either round the corner so he can move on to it and get balls into the penalty area so he can have opportunities to shoot. But he's been given seldom opportunity to do that. And in that respect, thank you very much. You too, my friend.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah, very
you
much
too.
So. Thanks for your hospitality.
Fine. Yeah,
well, pity our players
I'm over it.
No, not at all. But again, a good performance by the home team this afternoon certainly is the case. But yeah, when you've got a team that want to win the game, want to work, that was the press officer from Brackley FC who's been a tremendous. A Manchester United fan as well, incidentally, who was watching United until about 12 years ago, decided that it's a bit of a long journey. Do we really want to do so? Two local clubs around here, Northampton and that franchise up the road. He went to a couple of them, not for me. He's been here for 10 years now, loving his football here instead of in professional land. But it was simple as they wanted it more. They were set up better, and we didn't have a plan B. We couldn't break them down. We couldn't get behind them. I mean, if you look at
the only time we got behind them, it was passing on the deck, and it was odd. We started exactly the way we played against Tamworth, with long balls down the channels, and not really linking up the midfield with the attack. Instead, what we were trying to do was defence to the forward line of just one player, and it just wasn't working at all. And as soon as they get the first goal after 11 minutes, and then it's another goal exactly the same about 20 minutes after that, it's just change it. And we never changed it, and we never came to terms with them at all. They were passing they were going through us like a knife through butter at times. And I don't actually think...
Or a vegan spread.
And I don't actually necessarily think that the balls were world-class balls that were getting through us. They were obvious passes, and we were just not prepared at all for them to play that way.
No, possibly not. But let's not take anything away from the home team. They were excellent today. And that's the kind of performance I would expect of FC United of Manchester, with pace, with quality, with decent passing, but with the desire to win every second ball. And our midfield today was non-existent. As you say, the first half, there was balls being... they were bypassing. But the thing was, there was no shape to it. So when they got the ball back, we were out of all of our shape, and therefore it made it a lot easier for them. I thought Sheridan did okay. The rest of the team, I can't put my name on a player that actually had a very, really good game, in fairness. I think they will all be very disappointed, all very upset with their performance individually and as a team. Carl will also be very disappointed with that performance individually. But you can't make basic mistakes from set pieces like we have done. We've gifted them goals.
That's the first half. The second half, it doesn't get any better, really. And the amount of times, I mean, we didn't... Maidley, one shot on goal, that was the only one on target. We've not done enough in the second half to justify having players left over in our own penalty box, which is where their two goals came from.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're 2-0 down, then you go 3-0 down, and there's still like 20 minutes to go, and you're actually not really trying to stretch the game. You're trying to not... You're still playing in the same manner. Yeah, but you're being left open at the back, but you're not actually...
There's no throwing caution to the wind.
You're not throwing an extra player up there to think, oh, well, in that case, you know, we just weren't at the races. You know, we get games like that. In this division, it's very difficult to be in a situation where you get beat like that and the week after put in a performance. But we need to put in a performance next week because we're playing Lowestoft, and that's going to be a tough old encounter back at Broadhurst Park. We haven't been there for nearly a month now, it seems. That's how it feels anyway. Mm-hmm. It's only been 3 weeks, but you know, a lot of fans that don't go away with FC, that live in the local area perhaps, will be coming to watch next week, and hopefully they'll see some good football. We know FC possess some great football. Carl got a lot of work to do Tuesday and Thursday for me on the training ground. It's just been poor. You know, you can't say a great deal more than it's been a poor performance. We've not worked the ball. We've not worked their team. We've made sure that they've looked a lot better than they actually are. But at the same time, you can't take anything away from them. They've had some very good performances. You know, Steve Diggin, tremendous. You know, Dave Moyo had a great game. Tom Winters, as I said, for me, absolutely outstanding. And Glenn Walker, the first half, he was head and shoulders above everybody else. Matty Lowe, number four, you know, running the game. The defence, you know, didn't have a... just weren't put up enough pressure. Our final ball was poor. Our delivery was poor. Our quality was poor from start to finish. But again, hey, look, that's football for you. You know, there's not a lot else we can say, Ben, in all fairness. It's very hard to sort of like, you know, dissect it even more so, apart from, you know, you could do. We could sit there and dissect every individual player. But that's not what we're about. You know, it's an all-round team performance which has been poor from top to bottom. Everyone's to blame. But we'll come good again next week, and a good performance. The endeavour's always there. The endeavour's always there. The attitude is always there, ordinarily. And also, the work rate's there. Being better team on the day with no real plan B for ourselves, and it's only 3 points. We're not in the bottom three. We go again, and let's hope we can be talking next week with a little bit more positivity.
And that is us from Northamptonshire. The first time we've been to Northamptonshire for a competitive game, and hopefully the next time we come back to Northamptonshire, it will be a lot better.
Well, I won't be here, Ben.
No, you might be.
Oh, you never know.
So from everyone here at St James's Park, we wish you a fond farewell, and back to the studio.
All right, Cockers.
FC United return to action in the league this Saturday with another crucial match in the battle to stay clear of the relegation zone, as FC host Lowestoft at Broadhurst Park in Moston. Kick-off on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, if you cannot make this game, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday from 2:30 p.m. right here on your very own FCUM radio. Well, that's it from me for this week's show. You can hear this show on a Monday and Tuesday this week at 8:30 a.m, 12:30 and 7 p.m. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time.